Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for everything you give us. Thank you for the love that you show us, Lord. And we just want to be close to you, Lord. And we want to learn from you. So that's why we're asking is that your words be spoken here today, Lord. Not Gary's, but yours. So that we could just maybe get something so that we could be closer to you. We pray for those who are not here, Lord, just for whatever reason, a healing hand for those. There's a lot of people who are sick, for those who just couldn't make it, for those who don't know you, we especially reach out to them, Lord, that they get to know you, that they see what we see in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Yay, free food.
What? It's not communion, is it? What? Oh. Yeah, I guess. Memory loss. Well, that's okay because Mia's doing communion today. She's teaching. But before that, we learned last week, right, Jesse, last week in Revelation 9, right?
Yeah, definitely.
we saw that there's going to be a great destruction, and a lot of people are going to perish. People are not going to do so well. I'm be pushing up daisies. However, even though there's going to be a lot of trouble, people are not, or the majority are not going to go to God, are not going to seek his help. You know, they're going to remain stubborn and harden their hearts towards God. And it's an unfortunate event. It's a sad event that's going to happen. But we'll pick up. That's what is just happening. Then John sees this. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Mia, do you want to start us off? So another mighty angel. There are some what will, just because of him ascending down and everything, they say, oh, well, it sounds like Jesus. However, John has written about Jesus. John will write about Jesus again. And he never refers to him as an angel. So that's why most people feel this is another mighty angel, kind of like Michael. Everybody's heard of the Archangel Michael? No? Okay, so it's a mighty angel. Or somebody like him, another archangel. Now it said, clothed with a cloud. And I don't think he's just has clouds on him and that's his actual clothes. But like I said, so he's descending from heaven, right? And coming through clouds. So all the clouds around him. So in a, you know, he may have had a white robe, because it seems like everybody's issued a white robe in heaven. but he's ascending through, you know, the clouds, so that the clouds all around him, you know, clothed in clouds. That's why John sees him. Then it talks about a rainbow over his head and his face shining bright. Like the moon, right?
No, it's sun.
Oh, like the sun, bright, shining bright like the sun. You know, there's a natural phenomenon when the sun goes behind, kind of like a rain cloud, and raindrops, and it makes this prism we know it as?
Rain.
Yeah. The sun causes the rain. No, but so the sunlight going through the water droplets.
A rainbow
over his head. So this would be like, if that angel is coming down through the clouds, right? These clouds would probably be a storm cloud, right? Just painting this awesome picture of this angel coming down. You know, there's rainbows and there's storm clouds and it's being bright, the glory of God. I was going to say something else, then I said God, but the brightness of the glory of God is just shining about him because he is a messenger of God, right? And he's coming down, and his feet like pillars of fire, you know, showing strength. You know, there's a little advice for anybody out there. It's like, if you ever see somebody with fire on their legs and they're okay with it, don't pick a fight with that guy. That's like you. Now if they're on fire and they're like, ah! You'll help them put them out.
Put oil.
Yeah, don't put water on a grease fire. You know that, right? Why? Because it'll boom. You want to suffocate. You know, he comes as a messenger of God. And God has given him authority for some judgment. And then so the fire in his legs, there is a symbolism, fire meaning judgment in the Bible. So there would be judgment. He stands on judgment. Revelation chapter 10, verse 2. Anastasia.
He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land.
All right, so in his hand, he carried a little open book. In some translations, it will say it can be translated as scroll. So in Revelation 5, we see God had a scroll in his hand. Anybody remember that? And on that scroll, there was seven. Anybody remember? Seven seals. Seals. Yeah, seven of those. Right. No, there were seven seals, and we've already read about the breaking of those seals. But now this little book, our scroll, is open. Now, we don't know, is it referring something similar? I think it's similar. We don't know if it's that, you know, it doesn't say little scroll in God's hand, and that's the difference. We're not sure if that makes it different or not. But you know, why does he describe it like that? But for right now, we're going to put a pin in that. I want you to ponder that. We're going to put a pin in that, and we're going to pick it back up in verse 8. We're going to start talking about that little book at verse 8. But next, we're going to talk about the 1 foot on the land and the 1 foot in the sea, right? What this signifies is talking about that he's speaking this message to the whole earth. Everything on land, everything underneath the land, and everything at sea. There is no place anyone can hide from this message. Caves. Revelation chapter 10, verse 3, James.
And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And he cried out, silent thunders uttered their voices.
So the angel cries out like a lion, this loud voice, and something answers back. It's right, these thunderous voices answer back. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4, Jesse. So John is able to understand these seven thunders. Now, we don't know what they written down, but and we also don't know why God told John not to write them down. John's just like, okay, let's write this down. This is important. And he said, no. Now, if you read through the Gospels, if you read through the Bible, you see a number of times that Jesus, during one of his miracles, will tell people, okay, don't tell anybody. You know, it makes you wonder. Huh?
Keeping all the gossip to himself.
No, we don't know why exactly. Maybe, you know, there's speculations. We could speculate about a lot of different things. And sometimes it's good, sometimes a lot of times speculation is bad because we don't really know the truth. I mean, it could be leading to this, but sometimes there's mysteries. There's mysteries in the gospel. Now, a mystery is sometimes it doesn't mean that nobody knows. Sometimes a mystery is that you know it, but it's hard to understand it. That's a mystery. There's these things. It's a nickname. I always heard the nickname called witchy sticks. Anybody's ever heard of that? I doubt it. It's not really common. But so usually they're a piece of metal, and they're in the shape of an L, right? So you could hold them in your hand. You know, hold them a little loosely, and you have them pointing straight out. So if you have this, there's similar things called divining rods. And then you're walking, and if you cross a water pipe, the sticks will cross each other. Now, it sounds made up, doesn't it? But I've seen it worked. I've used them. And I cannot explain why they are a mystery, right? I could speculate magnetic fields and everything, but for some reason, they seem to help you find water. In Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, Stephen?
I thought you said 5, 7, 2.
5 through 6.
Yeah, I thought you said 5 through 7.
Oh.
Check your laptop.
No, that's the next one. 5 through 6. All right, so the important thing on this verse is lean not. It's lean not on our understandings. You know, the things that we understand. You know, there are things out there we don't really understand why God allows, correct? I mean, you've thought about those things, I'm sure, right? There's things that we don't know why God allows. Yet we need to be able to just trust in God. You know, maybe we were not ready to understand them right now. Maybe that would push us or push somebody in the wrong direction. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe someday we'll get to know everything. But for now, there are mysteries where we know everything happens for good, but we don't really understand it. Revelation chapter 10, 5 through 7.
Plus you had a power of 7 on you too, Gary.
You did what?
I have power of
3, 7
on
you too. Oh,
really?
Yeah. No, it's just Revelation chapter 10, 5 through 7. James, do you want to read that? I know you like the
book. And I saw standing in the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it. But that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be unfinished.
All right, so he's talking about who? Who is he talking about? The angel, right? We were talking about the mighty angel. And he raises up his hand. We know for certain that Jesus will return. We know for certain that when that happens, there are going to be people that are going to be judged on their actions. And unfortunately, there are going to be people that are going to be punished. And we know for a fact that God has been and will delay giving people time to get to know him. However, when that seventh angel sounds, there will be no more delays. You know, that's it. There's no more delays. There's no more, oh, well, maybe tomorrow. No, that's it. That's starting the end of days. You know, that's finishing the end of days. You know, there's no more delays. He's saying, and that is the message for all the earth. Revelation chapter 10, 8 through 9. Anybody want to read, or should I? Or? A little strange, right? So, like, give me the book. Well, if you don't take the book, you don't have to eat it. It's like, okay. Okay, that's kind of weird. But, you know, God tells John to take the little book. And so he goes up to the angel. It'd probably be very intimidating, but he goes up to the angel. And the angel lets John know that he has to eat the book. You put a little salt,
yeah.
Little vinegar,
some butter.
Right? Some butter. What is that? So in Revelations, we're gonna get more into that. Revelations chapter 10, verse 10. Snatched up the book, right? Eating the book symbolizing feeding the soul, right? Ingesting what it has in it. You know, learning those words, like just actually throwing everything into. Has anybody ever just got so into a book that you threw everything into it and that's, you ingested it? Not literally, but you're like, you're just like, yes.
I've read it 3 times in a row.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big fan of books. Well, I don't know.
Neither was I. But supposedly, books are better than movies. I don't think so, but
yeah,
I don't have to. Right. No, there's people. No, I can see it. It's
but then if you
imagine, you know, with the, yeah, there's like imagination, your creativity, and a really good book will make you see the character how they will.
The book will say that the character has brown hair, but in the movie he has blonde hair.
Right. No, sometimes they get it wrong. But it this book, after John tastes, you know, he's tasting it, he's eating it, and it's sweet, but it makes us a bitter feeling in his stomach, right? Ever hear of the term bittersweet? Right? It is bittersweet. It's kind of like, I was trying to go through, there's a lot of different examples, but kind of like the Warhead candy, right? Right, but when you first suck them, it's like, oh, it's a candy coating, right? It's all nice, and then you break through that candy coating, and it's just sour. It's even better. It's kind of like Mexican candy, right? Some people just love them.
The sourness is always at the top, and then when you get those sour, it's just candy.
Right, right. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite. Just a straight face.
Yep. She had a while. And then the first time she had loving was she was like, food. She didn't
make this. What? Like the rind? Like,
no,
or just.
I remember some videos where like parents give their kids a little bit of lemon and then they like make that.
Yeah. And you're like.
My parents wanted to do that and I just ate it.
Right. But it's also like the cross. You know, it's bitter because did our Lord and Savior, you know, an innocent man died on the cross. Right? It's kind of, that's bitterness. But it's also sweet because of his love, he laid down his life for us. It is a sweet gesture, a gesture nobody else could do, but he laid down his life so that we could be forgiven forever. You know, this little book, in it's God's words. It's God's words of the final days. Sweet because God loves us, and he warns us and gives us hope, yet bitterness because during those days, there are too many that will not choose him. So it's bitterness. God's word can be bitter for those, thinking about those who did not have to suffer, but chose to suffer. Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. Anastasia.
And he said to me, you must
prophesy
again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Am I reading that?
Is teach, foretell.
I know what a prophecy is, and I know what prophesizing is.
It means basically go out and evangelize, go out and write this book.
Go out and spread the gospel.
Gospel.
Yeah,
not gossip. Gospel.
When I'm older, I want to spread the gospel. Or else, you mean gospel or.
Oh, okay. So it's an inside joke. Now I know. So John has to go tell the truth to just some people? No? Everyone. Right, he has to gossip about everybody. Different nations, right? And then different tongues. He's not talking about just talking to people in their tongues at him. No, it's languages. Different tongues would be languages, right? So everybody, different languages. There's different kings. Again, there'd be kind of different nations. So it's talking about all sorts of people, right? All across the world. You know, there's no limit to God's forgiveness. And God wants to warn or offer that forgiveness, which is kind of a warning. This is a warning, but he's actually offering forgiveness to everybody. It doesn't matter where you're from, where you grew up, or what language you speak. We're all the same. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. James?
I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins, and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more.
God wants to forget our sins. He doesn't want to remember them. He just wants people, or he just doesn't want people to wait too long. You know, doesn't want people to put off today or put off today, but, you know, for tomorrow. He wants things done today because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we're going to pray and then we'll do communion. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just love you again and everything you teach us and what you're telling us, Lord. And then may that reflect on us, Lord. May we, hopefully we all know, and I feel like we all know you, Lord, but maybe we'll have an opportunity where somebody is put before us, Lord, and we could maybe just show them a pathway to you. We know you save, we don't save, Lord, but we could show people a direction. And I pray that we all have an experience and don't shy away from that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.